thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Reading Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 4. It said, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." What does that tell me? It tells me that our Saviour is calling every one of you here tonight. And if he's calling you tonight, or if he's been calling you in days which are already gone into eternity, have you ever sought him? Moses said, "Thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy soul." David said, "Now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God." The prophet Azariah said, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you." The prophet Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." The prophet Jeremiah said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus again said in another part of the scriptures, "Seek and ye shall find." And lastly, Hosea says, "It is time to seek the Lord." I want to share with you tonight, and it is a privilege. There is no greater privilege in this side of heaven than to share the living word of a living God. A number of weeks ago, we had the privilege of being in London. It was just after that policeman had been brutally slain outside the Houses of Parliament. And so we wondered where we would go, and we decided we wouldn't go near Parliament Square at all. And so as we were walking down through London, heading down towards Trafalgar Square, I noticed on my wee map of St. Martin in the Fields. And I said, "Oh, Carl, I've heard so much about this church." So I went in and I just looked around it. I come out and I went into the big square, Trafalgar Square, with Nelson's Column. And while we were standing there, we heard this man preach. So we went over and we started to listen to this man. He was 80 years of age. And here's what he said. He said, "I was 24 years of age. I was an atheist. Had no time for God. Had no thought of God. Had no interest in God. And then one day," he said, "I bought a Bible. And I started to read about this man called Jesus. And I went to the New Testament. And as I was reading about this man called Jesus, within a very short period of time, I fell on my knees in my own house and I cried out, 'Jesus, save me.'" Yes, he sought him with all his heart. If you go to John chapter 20, you'll also read these words, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." What am I getting at tonight? I'll tell you exactly what I'm getting at tonight. as we journeyed on through Trafalgar Square and were heading down towards Horse Guards. Beautiful day, just walking along, and we seen all the crowd round Horse Guards, and we decided we'd go over towards the River Thames, towards the embankment. And up, just down a bit would have been that London Eye. And we came across a small park. We walked into the park and we seen various statues. But the first statue that I came to was of William Tyndale, who translated the New Testament into English. William Tyndale said as a young man, "I will translate the Bible so that even a ploughman in England, a ploughboy, will understand that word." What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying simply this, that if only our churches would realize how precious that word is and what men did so that you and I would have the privilege to read that word. And not only the privilege of reading that word, it was through that word that you came and I came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. I don't mean this bad in any sense of the word, but I was absolutely amazed when I came up to Ballymoney. I couldn't believe that some churches didn't open on a Sunday night. Where I come from in Carrickfergus, every church was open on Sunday night. And I just want to continue on by saying simply this. William Tyndale had to flee. He had to flee from England. And he went to Germany and there he translated the word of God into the English tongue. Many people were slain. Many people were persecuted. And it wasn't too long before William Tyndale was betrayed. And as they put him on to that funeral pyre, they strangled him, or at least they thought they'd strangled him, and then they set the faggots on fire. And as they were roaring, he regained consciousness and he burned to death. What I want to share with you tonight, and I want you to look it up, Proverbs 8:34-36. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death." If I was to introduce this particular sermon to you tonight, have you ever heard of some great tragedy or event which has impacted your life and your heart and your spirit so much that you can remember the date, possibly, or the very place where you were when that happened? I'll give you a few examples. Whenever President Kennedy was assassinated, I'm sure some of you older folk would remember where you were that day. Even when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, I'm sure some of you could even remember that day. Even when the Twin Towers were getting destroyed by those aeroplanes in New York, we can remember it well. I remember actually driving through Malile that particular time. And I think it was 2,996 people dead and perhaps over 6,000 people badly injured. But maybe am I speaking to someone here today who has a more personal tragedy that greatly impacted your life. And I want to share with you tonight about a personal tragedy that impacted my life. I remember whenever I was 16 years of age, walking down the harbour as we used to do on a beautiful sunny day, just like yesterday, and not a care in the world with some of my friends. And then some other school friends come running up. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened? What happened? What happened? Robert Beggs was drowned at the Fisherman's Quay. Robert Beggs went to school with me. But I want to go on to my testimony now. I remember as a young boy of 14. I'll go further back in that. I was brought up in a home, not a religious home. My parents weren't saved till late in life. But I'll always remember this. Three wee boys. If there was a mission came to the town, they took us. I'm standing here tonight and I'm looking at wee families with your wee children. Those wee children will thank you in years to come that you were so concerned about their soul. What is my testimony? It's simply this. 14 years of age, there's a mission on in a little hall near where I lived. And so at 14, that's about the time where rebellion would maybe start. But anyway, some of my friends decided they would go to this mission, and I went along with them. And I remember hearing that man preach that night, and he made an appeal. He said, look, if you want to get saved, will you stay behind after the meeting tonight? And I just said to my friend, I said, I'm going up there to get saved. And of course, there was about seven of us, and they followed me up, and we sat in the front row. Of course, everybody else had gone, and he started to tell us about John 3:16, if we believed it. Come back tomorrow night and tell us what your decision is. And as we were walking home that night, seven young boys, one said they'll think about it. One says they might get saved. And I says, boys, I had the furthest to walk. I said, I will be saved. And as I was walking up to the home that night, this thought came into my heart that I could ask Jesus Christ into my life right now. And I stopped and I said, Lord Jesus, will you come into my life and take all my sin away? And I can tell you, men and women, tonight, that as a young boy of 14 years of age, I felt as though a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to go to the meeting the next night. I went into school and I told all the boys about getting saved and they wondered what had happened to me. But that night, he told us to stay behind and we stayed behind and of course, they started at the far end. What was your decision? And each one of them in turn said they decided they wanted to be saved. How do you know? And of course, they rhymed off a little verse, John 3:16, and that's lovely, son, you're saved. And he came to me and he said, well, he says, what was your decision? And I says, I am saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. And how do you know? And I told him, I just stood there out in the street. And he asked Jesus into my heart and into my life. And then he looked at me. And he says, I don't think so, son. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. So I went there for the whole fortnight mission. Never once did he ever come to my side. But something had happened within my little heart or little soul. And it's simply this. I started to go to church every Sunday night on my own. And as I used to walk down, I used to walk by Robert's house, and Robert had been saved when he was 11. At one of the missions that I had been at years ago. And so Robert and I used to walk into church every Sunday night and walk back again. And that went on for 2 years. And then Robert drowned. But you know, there was something in my heart. And the hardest thing I ever had to do was to walk to church that first Sunday night after Robert had been buried. And I walked to church and I walked home again. I walked to church for 2 years. Nobody ever said anything to me in church. I was so discouraged. Some people say, well, the preacher was right. It's not by feelings. And in lots of cases, I would agree with them. But if I were to read Pilgrim's Progress, my Bible said that a great burden fell off his back. John Wesley, that great preacher, that great scholar who became the founder of the Methodist Church, he had even gone over to America. But he noticed that the Moravians that were on the ship had something that he hadn't got. Yes, he preached about this Jesus, but he knew in his heart of hearts that he didn't really have Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. One night he was invited to hear, I think it was Peter Baller, the Moravian preacher in Aldergate Street, London. And he said in his journal, my heart was strangely warmed. And from that day, he had a full assurance that he was born again. I can go to the Bible now. Do you remember the wee woman that crushed through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment? She had the issue of blood. It said that whenever she touched that hem, she felt within her body that she was healed of that plague. Robert had died. Quite often, going to school, they would pass the wee house and the wee shop just facing the Fisherman's Quay. And one day his father ran out and said, Roy, you haven't been in to see us, you haven't been in to see us. Men and women, I didn't really want to go in and see them. But I went in anyway to see his dear wife. And they told me about the day that Robert died. It was a beautiful day. And Robert was 16. I went on to do engineering. And Robert, he went to be a joiner. And they told me that they took me right into the storeroom and they said, see all those shelves for storing all those goods. Robert did them all. And he got up early that particular Saturday morning and he says, I'll finish it today. And everything went well and he had it finished just after lunchtime and he just said to his mum and dad, I think I'll just go in for a wee swim just to cool off. And while he was in swimming, he took a cramp and he died. I was coming to the stage over 18 years of age where even I was saying to myself, why? Why are you going to church? I would always have went on a Sunday morning Bible class in the afternoon. And the thought came into my head that maybe I should just stop going. But God sent a lovely elder into my life, a school teacher. gave me a lift one day, started to talk to me about Jesus. Then he said, "Roy, what are you doing on Monday night?" And I told him I was going to Belfast. I wouldn't be home till late. He said, "What's late?" I said, "About 9:30. He said, "I want you to come down to my house." And so I went down to his house that Monday night. Had to sit in the kitchen because it had visitors. He had a Bible and I had a Bible, and he started to speak to me about the Lord. Now, I had never told anybody what had ever happened to me from I was 14 years of age. Probably I was ashamed. And sometimes in spiritual things we are ashamed. And I don't want you to believe in this meeting tonight having a doubt or a fear, because Jesus can solve every problem. But remember, he wasn't speaking to me very long, and I started to open up and tell him about this school teacher that had been speaking to me when I was 14, and told him the whole story. And then he started to show me verses from the Bible. And then in one instance I said to him, "Derek, is there another verse similar to that version?" He said, "There's a margin, Roy, look it up." And I would have looked at that margin and went over and I went all through the Bible. Till I came to a couple of verses in Psalm 37. It was almost 11 o'clock and I read these verses. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall," there's somebody in this meeting tonight, and they would have been saved years ago, only they're afraid of fall. "The Jesus I'm preaching to you tonight, he's able to keep that which you commit unto him. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands." And as I read these words again, "the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," I realized I had a vision of Calvary that night. I realized that I wasn't standing at Calvary's cross, but my representative was standing there that day, and they were shouting, "Away with him, away with him." I realized that I wasn't a good man. And I realized that my steps were not ordered by the Lord. And I realized something else, that I was not delighting in my way. And yet God said, 4 years later, over 4 years later, "Though you fall, though you've made a mess of it," am I speaking to someone tonight who is a backslider? "Even if you've made a mess of it, you'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I tell you, he'll be able to hold you, for the word of God says he holdeth the waters in his hand. A couple of days ago, just sitting meditating, wasn't even very rarely would I give my testimony in a gospel meeting. But I was just thinking about it. Walking to church on Sunday morning, walking back again. Walking to Bible class in the afternoon, walking back again. Walking to church on Sunday night and walking back again. How far was I prepared to seek God? How far are you prepared to seek God? Well, on a Sunday, I would have walked 15 miles. Easy Moss, 2.5 miles there and 2.5 miles back, 3 times, 15 miles. Went to various missions, 2 or 3 missions a year. I was brought up that way. I would have walked, with the exception of the odd time somebody might have given me a lift, but it would have been odd in those days. In a year, I would have walked 750 miles. In 4 years, I would have walked over 3,000 miles, seeking God. Maybe you're here tonight, and your loved ones had to beg you to come. And you know in your heart of hearts you're not seeking God. You would love to be in 100 different places than to be here tonight. But God knows your heart. He knows it better than I do. Now I'll go to my text. Verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favour of the Lord. I started to cry when I read these verses. Derek said to me, Roy, just cry away. And I lay down and I wept and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I said, Lord, would you just save me? I don't care. That night I thought that I was cutting my right hand off, honestly, my right arm off. But I'll never forget it. As I went out home, walking up home that night, it was March and the rain was blowing and the wind was blowing and my eyes were stinging because I'd been crying. And there as I'm walking up the road, and I was prepared for a life of misery. And a wonderful thing happened. I told my brother, who already knew the Lord, and we had a great time that night. And then there's a whole lot of other things of how I told the boys in work the next day. Something had happened. Something had changed. And you know, I thought that I was throwing my life away. And you know, the devil's saying that to you tonight. Because the devil comes to gospel meetings, you know. You don't believe in a devil? Well, I'll tell you exactly what he's saying. Wait. Later. Don't be doing anything silly. Don't be doing anything rash. That's his voice. It is not the voice of our Saviour. I never realised. I absolutely never realised what it really meant to put all on the altar for Jesus. I remember one day saying, Lord, I didn't expect to be happy. I was prepared to be miserable all the rest of the days of my life. And I was walking up home and I says, Lord, I'm just going to look up into your heaven. And as I looked up into the heavens, the stars seemed to be so big and seemed to be so bright and the moon and everything about them. And I just said, Lord, oh, I just thank you for your handiwork. And as I was walking up the housing estate, I said, Lord, I'm going to have another wee look at your handiwork. And I looked up and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And this time I looked up and I couldn't see the moon. I couldn't even see the stars. Why? Because I was standing underneath a street lamp. Is there someone here tonight? And the world is your street lamp. But anyway, as I went on, reading my Bible, praying, I read a beautiful verse. And do you know what it says? He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You think you're living life to the full? You have a queer imagination. You have a queer imagination. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I want to come towards the end of my sermon tonight. I don't have many heroes, but certainly one of them would be Duncan Campbell. I would lie in bed some nights, and if I'm not listening to the revival in Lewis, I'd be listening to his testimony. And Duncan Campbell, in his testimony, said that he was living away from home. He was working, living away from home. And he said he was at a dance this night and he was playing the bagpipes and everything was going great. And then his soul was troubled. He felt as though he shouldn't be there. He went and he said to the chairman of the dance, he said, look, I have to go home, I have to go home. What's wrong with you? I just don't feel that I should be in this place tonight. I and the chairman of the dance was a minister. He said, oh, don't worry about it, son. You'll get over it. Duncan Campbell knew he wouldn't get over it. He walked out of that dance that night with his bagpipes. And as he was walking home, he saw the church was lit up. And he looked through the window and he saw his Father Stanton praying for him and for souls. He went in and he sat at the back of the church. We girl in the faith mission got up and she just said this little verse. God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. If he was troubled then, he was troubled more after that. He made his way home, went to the wee farmhouse, looked through the window again, and there his wee mother was praying, Lord, will you save Duncan? He went in and he told his mother what had happened to him. He'd get troubled, he'd get anxious, he'd get fearful. He started to cry. She held him in her arms. She says, Duncan, you go out into that barn. You tell Jesus Christ everything that you told me. And Duncan come in, born again. Joined a faith mission, became a minister, and then was used greatly on the mighty revival in the Isle of Lewis. Went for a 10-day mission and it lasted for about 3 years. I started off my text by saying, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favour of the Lord. The devil's saying to some of you young folk tonight, see, if you give your Jesus Christ your life, you're throwing it away. Well, I want to tell you young people tonight, the devil is a liar. He cannot tell the truth. And he's telling you that tonight because once you go out through that door, he'll think you'll forget all about it. Here's the warning. And it's found in Proverbs 8:36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. If God's speaking to you tonight and you're in open rebellion and you're saying, I'm not getting saved, I'm not going forward, I'm not doing this, I'm not going to this man, Jesus Christ, I don't want to have anything to do with him. You're not wronging the person sitting beside you. You're wronging your own soul. I remember taking a young friend of mine to a mission. Came to the last night of the mission. Went into his house. And I'll never forget what his mother said. Robert, just as we were going out the last night of the mission, Robert, don't be doing anything silly. I can tell you, men and women, tonight, Robert didn't do anything silly. Robert did nothing. And Robert's not saved tonight. Wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. You know, I hear people talking about, oh, when I get to heaven, yes, it'll be wonderful. But I want to tell you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, your eternal life doesn't start at the pearly gates. It starts when you bow your knee and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to come into your heart and to be Lord of your life. Someone's saying here tonight, I can make my decision anytime I want. No, you can't. Word of God says, seek him while you might be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Years later, I heard a preacher preaching this sermon of this particular man who had been at a dance, the same dance as Duncan Campbell, and he was troubled in his spirit. And he felt he couldn't stay there any longer, so he headed home. And for a while, Duncan and him chatted about the troubled spirit. Then they got to the crossroads. Duncan went that way and he went the other way. God bless his business. God made him a very prosperous man in Scotland. He was lying on his deathbed. The minister was round the bed. His family were round the bed, pleading that he would get saved, pleading that he would get right with God. And here was his last words. I made my decision the night Duncan Campbell was saved. He made his decision. He would think about it. And never again did he ever hear. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And you're saying very simply and very sincerely, I know what that wee man's talking about. But I'm going to get saved when I'm old. I'm going to enjoy life. And then I'm going to cry out to God. And that's what the devil may well be saying to you. Carl's grandfather came to know the Lord probably about 6 months or so before he died. He was a giant of a man. Then with ill health, he became very ill. And I remember going in to see him in the hospital. He'd been in and out of hospital that many times. He always thought he was going to die, but he always seemed to rally. And this particular night I was in talking to him and he was crying. And I said, Mr. Milligan, why are you crying? He said, he was 69 years old. He said, I'm crying because I had the cheek to give Jesus Christ the fag end of my life. He said, you wouldn't even give it to a tramp. Men and women, I'm talking about a Savior tonight. He died on a cross for you and for me. And I'm not only talking to the unsaved tonight, because I'm going to tell you something. This town, yes, all we hear about day in and day out outreach, we need a revival. We need an inreach. We need men and women to be committed to the Lord the way they used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago. And with this we'll finish. Many of you know Val English, Baptist preacher. Val English was talking to a group of young men, talking to them about the Lord. Of course, there was a joker among the pack. He started to mock him. And Val just kept talking to him about Jesus. And then he got a bottle of Coke and he just threw it over his face. Paul said, I just wiped my face. And all he could hear him saying is, I'll get saved when I win the pulls. And he laughed. Years later, Val English was on holidays. He was walking across the street, this seaside town, and a newspaper blew across, a dirty old newspaper. He lifted it up and it caught in amongst his legs. And he opened it up. And there on the front page, pulled winner dies in a horrific crash. Men and women tonight, I plead with you tonight not to leave this place. There's plenty of men here tonight. There's plenty of women here tonight that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And maybe this is a night that some of you should be coming back to the Lord. Maybe this is a night Jesus is saying, I want everything of you. I don't want part of you. I want all. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.